John chapter 4 and verse 46. The Bible says in John chapter 4 and verse 46, "So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at that the point of death. And then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see the signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquire he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he had come down out of Judea into Galilee." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you meet with us this morning. And Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you would have your will and your way in the service. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just fill me with your Holy Spirit power and just guide my thoughts and guide my words. And Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us, the rest of us, to be Spirit-filled listeners. And I pray that you help us to be open for what you have for us out of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, being Father's Day, as I was preparing the sermon, I remember a lot of things that my dad has taught me and has done for me, and he has been a provider, and I remember my mom gently and lovingly administering medicine and whatnot, but you know what? My dad provided it, made sure that it was available for us kids when we were sick. And you know what? He was a teacher, and basically all that I know about working on cars, I learned from him, and all that I know about working on houses and whatnot. And so here's the thing: is that when it comes down to it, fathers are very important. And here on Father's Day, I know that a little while ago we had Mother's Day, and I believe it's so important to emphasize the family, because nowadays the world de-emphasizes the family, and you see it on TV. But God ordained the home, and he set it up with one dad and one mother, and it always works best when we do it God's way. And just like my dad made sure that. His family had what he needed when I was growing up, this nobleman sought to help his dying son. Now think about this for a moment as place yourself in this nobleman's position. Here you have a son I'm sure that this nobleman took his son to see many doctors. And imagine if your son was sick, how many paths you would try to beat down to try and find someone that would save your son. And I'm sure they had tried the home remedies, and they had tried the natural path route, and all the stuff that you can try nowadays. But you know what? He realized that there was no hope other than Jesus. And that's the thing, is that's the point that we should get to, is the fact that that we realize that there is no hope other than Jesus. And just think about this: when we needed a Savior the most, Jesus Christ came to this old sin-sick earth, died on a cross for our sins, and you know what? Made a way for us to made a way of escape from our sin. And the Bible says that he that knew no sin became sin for us. And the Bible also says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Jesus Christ came on this earth, died on a cross for our sins, so that we can have a home in heaven one day, and our sins can be forgiven. But there is no other hope other than Jesus. And you know what's interesting, though, is that we see the stages of faith that this nobleman had. And, you know, in verses 46 and 47, we see that there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick, the Bible says, and he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea. You know, this is the beginning of faith. And, you know, we should be growing in faith. And, you know, the thing about it is that we want, the Christian life doesn't end after salvation. The Bible goes on, and there's the first commandment is baptism, and it's an outward expression of an inward work. It has nothing to do with salvation, but the Bible says that the next step after salvation is baptism. But here's the thing, is that we should be growing in grace. The Bible says all throughout Scripture, the Bible talks about growing in grace, and you know what? There was something interesting about this, is that the nobleman heard and he did something with it. He listened intently with what he had heard. And, you see that he didn't turn a deaf ear to the message. And, that just defies logic. You mean there's a Jesus that can heal my son? No. And, you know what? He didn't think he was too important. He didn't think that, you know what? What would people think if I went groveling at the feet of this man named Jesus? And, you know what? I'm a nobleman. I've got riches, and I've got position in the community. And, you know, what would people think? And he didn't mock the people that told him about Jesus. You say, well, you know what? They don't know what they're talking about. They just, you know what? This person's just young and foolish, or they're too zealous. This Jesus can't be doing all that he says. But here's the thing, is, you know what? In verse 47, the Bible says he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, and he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And so, when you look at it, he had beginning faith, but then you go on and he had persistent faith. In verse 48, and Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And, you know what? There was a coming to Jesus. When you look at it, from where he was to where he was going, he had to travel about a day's journey. Think about this for a moment. He had to leave his son's side to do it. And he didn't know if he might die while he was gone. What faith? I tell you what, do we have that kind of faith in our Christian life where when all hangs in the balance, that we're willing to hang it all on Jesus? Realizing that he is able to take care of any situation. He is able, he is loving, and you know what? The thing about it is this nobleman, I tell you what, the title of my message, I guess I should have given you that, is A Noble Father. A noble father. What faith. Imagine the anguish of each step as he walked away from his son, being torn apart, realizing that Jesus Christ can save him, but that he has to walk away from his son. I don't know if his son was in pain. I don't know. All we know is that he was on the verge of dying, wondering what his son was doing and how his condition was there. But you know what? The fact that he persevered and kept his eyes on Jesus is what was impressive. He kept his eyes on Jesus. See, he had a persistent faith. Jesus goes on in verse 48. He says, "And ye except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe." And here's the thing is that when it comes down to it, more important than the nobleman's son being healed was whether the nobleman got saved that day. If a man ceases to ask, it shows that he has given up on an answer. His persistence shows that he had faith. Here's the thing, is all throughout Scripture, the Bible talks about pray without ceasing. Basically, pray without ceasing. Why is that important? Because it shows that, you know what? We have faith in God. We have faith that God will answer, that he is able, and that, you know what? He is the solution to our problem. You know what? When we pray, we need to pray and 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 pray until we get an answer from heaven. And so, when it comes down to it, Christ is the answer. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 33 and verse 18. Psalms chapter 33 and verse 18. The Bible says this: "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, and upon them that hope in his mercy, we need to have faith. We need to have faith that God is the answer. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 7. You see, that nobleman realized that there was a need, but also that Jesus was the one to fill that need. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." You see, this nobleman, his hope was in the Lord. His hope was in the fact that Jesus Christ could save him. His hope had realized that, you know what? Jesus' past was flawless, and that Jesus was able to heal the sick, and to he was able to heal the broken. He was able to heal the lame. You know what? Christ was able to do anything that he wanted. And when it came back down to it, he was persistent in his faith. You see, the nobleman understood that his own power was not enough to save his son. He needed a savior. See, the thing about it is he had realized at this point in time that even though he was a nobleman, it meant nothing. Even though he had stature in the community, it meant nothing. Even though he knew that even though he had money and financial stability, it meant nothing. He needed a savior. He needed to live by faith. See, at this point in time, Jesus had to teach the nobleman that his words were enough to heal the boy. The nobleman, as you look through this passage, the nobleman kept on persistently saying, "Lord, come to see my son. Come to see my son." And here's the thing, is I'll be honest with you, it's amazing the faith that this nobleman had, because he realized that, you know what, Jesus was the answer. But at the same point in time, he lacked just a little bit of faith to realize the fact that, you know what, Jesus Christ didn't have to come down and travel that day's journey to go see the boy. Jesus could heal him with just one word of the mouth. Think about Naaman. The same way, Naaman thought that the prophet should come out to see him. He sent a servant. Dip in the river Jordan 7 times. I tell you what, that was a mucky river. And I don't know about you, I'm not real fond of mucky rivers. My dad's got a pond on his property, and there ain't no way I'm dipping out into that mucky pond for nothing. And so, anyways, Dee's been out there. There's frogs and scum, and it's the type of thing where you squish when you walk, and it just kind of oozes through your toes. And Stephanie's told me about that. And and anyways, but the thing about it is that, listen, you know what? We've got to get to the point where, you know what? Anything is possible with God. You know what? A lot of times we put God in a box, and we think, well, you know what? If God will just do this, my problems will all be solved. Hey, listen, don't put God in a box. Realize that he's able. You know what? Just like we sing with the young people, he's able, he's able. I know he's able. I know. Yeah, let's see. He's able to carry me through. But here's the thing is that, listen, folks, when it comes down to it, God doesn't have to operate the way we think he should operate. You know, a lot of times, you think about this, just one word, just the word of God, and this whole earth was created. Just think about the power of God's word. And think about the power of God's word, and the fact that, you know what, in his breath was the breath of life. And Adam and Eve, well, Adam was received the breath of life. And you know what, God was able to create Eve with just one rib, and she's been a pain in the... No, I won't say that. And anyways, but the thing about it is that, listen, just think about the power of God's Word. Now listen, when you think about the power of God's Word, think about the power of God's Word. I tell you what, we as Christians, we ought to be in the Word, we ought to be studying the Word, we ought to be reading the Word, and we ought to be applying the Word of God to our lives. And so, I tell you what, today more than ever, we need to realize the power of the Word of God, and realize that it is the power of God. And you know, here's the thing is, it's the Word of God. How many of us were shared scripture verses that convicted us that we had a need for a Savior? You know, it's the scripture verses. The Bible uses the preaching of the Word of God. You know what? The preacher is not important. It's not who gives the message, but the message that's delivered. And anytime somebody gets up and preaches this book right here, the Bible says he uses the foolishness of preaching to confound the wise. God uses the preaching of the Word of God to convict hearts. I don't know how many times as a kid I was under several people are going to a church camp. this next week. And I don't know how many times I went to church camp as a little kid, and the preaching of the Word of God, some preacher got up and shared the Word of God. And you know what? I was able to make decisions. Why? Because of the power of the Word of God. We need to get back as individuals and as a church and as a nation that understands the power of the Word of God. I think a lot of times we realize in our head that Jesus is the answer, but a lot of times we don't realize the power of the Word of God. We need to share the Word of God. You know what? Lifestyle evangelism is great, but the Word of God is what has the power. We need to go out sharing the Word of God to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family. We need to take and be applying the Word of God to our lives. And I tell you what, his faith was just a little confused because he did not realize the power of Christ's Word. Belief in his Word is what assured that the request would be granted. How much do we believe in the Word of God? Do we think that the Word of God is written for someone else? Well, you know what? Here's the thing is, the Word of God is not like a buffet. I tell you what, there's nothing, you know, you go to a buffet and you'll be like, oh, I'll take a little bit of that and a little bit of that. By the way, there's nothing worse than, how many have ever been with somebody at a buffet that they reach out and start sampling stuff? You feel like taking a spoon and smacking their hand. And anyways, but the thing about it is that, listen, the Word of God's not a buffet. We don't just pick and choose what we want. The Bible says that by every man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. If we're honest with ourselves, there are things that we read in the Bible and we think, can we just move on? And you know what? There are times where we get convicted, but that conviction is necessary. There's times where we get challenged. You know what? I'll be honest with you. This word, do you realize that this word is not everything God knows? It's everything God wants us to know. And so the thing about it is we need to get back to the power of the Word of God. It's not written for somebody else. It's written for me. You know what? We can put a Dear Scott right in front of it. And at the very end, after Revelation, love God or your name. See, this book is ours. We need to personalize this book. Realize that it is a book. It is a powerful book of His Word for us. And I'll be honest with you, we need to take and not only read it, but apply it to our lives and all of it, not just the parts we like. When we need answers, do we find solutions that are contrary to the Word of God? You see, I've had people tell me, well, I believe it's God's will for me to get a divorce. Really? Where do you find that in the Bible? And I'm not talking about under situations, but I'm talking about, well, I just don't love them anymore. Well, where's that in the Bible? Well, I just feel it's the Lord's will. Well, here's the thing is, we cannot find God's will contrary to His Word. Otherwise, we haven't realized the power of the Word of God. And so the thing about it is that just because we don't want to do something is not a reason to throw it out the window. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Here's the thing is, how do we say, well, you know what? God won't mind if I skip some church. You know what? God won't mind if I skip Bible reading. God won't mind if I skip prayer time. And here's the thing is, what we need to do is go back and realize the power of the Word of God and realize that, you know what? The commandments that are in this book, because I'm a preacher, I am not exempt. Because we're a deacon, we're not exempt. Because we're a trustee, we're not exempt. Because we're a Sunday school teacher, we're not exempt. Because we're a church member for X amount of years, we're not exempt. Because whatever the case may be, the thing about it is the commandments in the Word of God, because this is a personal book, you know what? Those commandments are personally mine. And you know what? I have no excuse for just throwing some out and deciding, well, I'll throw this out and I'll keep this one. See, we've got to be careful about people that put the label of the will of God on a sinful or wicked act. This either shows ignorance about the power of the will of God or callousness to what the will of God actually demands. See, God's will never goes against His Word. And the thing about it is when it comes down to it, we'll see that God's word deals in a lot of things that a lot of people don't understand. You know, we go to that verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of times we feel like, I've heard so many times, you know what? Well, God doesn't really specify on this and so. And I'm thinking in my head, I've read verses on that. And so here's the thing is we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and workmen that need to not be ashamed. God's will never goes against the word of God. Faith in God is the only stable ground that we can stand. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And verses 16 through 21. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought to himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. So the thing about it is what matters in this life is what's done for Christ. What are we doing with our life? Are we taking and like the nobleman seeing Christ as the answer? Here's the thing is, if that's the case, we're not going to be living our lives for money. We're not going to be living our lives to build big barns. We're not going to be living our lives. See, the thing about it is those things are empty and meaningless. What's done for Christ will last. The thing about it is God is saying, listen, he that tries to, basically, you look at this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater. He lived his life for his own selfish gain. And the Bible says, thou fool, this night shall be required of thee. I don't know about you, but one day when I stand before God, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to stand before God and have to hang down my head and say, you know what? You lived your life for yourself. I don't want to have to answer to God for that. See, the end result of the nobleman's faith in verse 53, we see that him and his house was saved. I tell you what, that is a true noble father. One that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The answer is Jesus. And I'll be honest with you, this Father's Day, I see many fathers in this room, and I believe that there are many godly fathers. But let me just encourage you and let me challenge you. Keep on seeing Christ as the answer. Keep on seeing that the answer to all of our needs is Jesus Christ. And the thing about it is we need to lead our children. We need to lead our families. We need to lead our homes, our churches, and this country towards Christ and not away. So the thing about it is the true noble father is one that says, Christ is the answer. We're going to live by faith, and what's done here on this earth is going to be for him. Because think about this for a moment. Look at what Christ has done for us. Christ left the glory and splendor of heaven to die on a cross in a world that rejected him just so that we could be saved. Just so he could put in the Bible, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad I'm a whosoever. I'm so glad that when I was just a little boy in West Richland, Washington, I prayed and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that, you know what? I became adopted into the family of God. And that, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I've had my trials and troubles, maybe not as much as some, but you know what? Serving God is sure of joy. I tell you what, there's no greater joy than to walk with God. There's no greater joy than to see God working, to be able to see someone accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. What a privilege. What a privilege to be a part of a church like this. That's actively trying to share the gospel and actively trying to reach the community. See, coming to Jesus is the noblest thing that a father can do. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage. And Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the lessons that it teaches us. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to be noble men and women. I pray that you help us to put Christ first. I pray that you help us to realize the power of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to live by faith. Dear Heavenly Father, we see the progression of faith in this man and how towards the end of his life he went around witnessing to others about what Christ had done. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just help us to be faithful in witnessing for you. I pray that you bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.